الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the ayat of Surah Luqman on the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, and we have covered two parts of that advice, one dealing with shukr and the other one dealing with tawheed. And today we come on the advice, the third part of the advice, which has to do with duty to parents, the responsibility that children owe to the parents. And of course, by that it means also the responsibility of parenting itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His clarity of narrative in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned a caveat of with respect to obedience to parents. So before I come to the ayat of the Quran, I want to tell you a story. And the story has to do with a man who used to work. He was the foreman, he was the person in charge who worked for a very big builder, who used to build villas and palaces and all that kind of luxury accommodation. So this foreman worked for this builder for several decades, and then he decided that he was getting old, he wanted to retire. So he went to his boss and he said to him, "I worked for you for so many decades, and now I'm tired, I would like to retire. So please make my accountant allow me to leave." So his boss said to him, "Very good, I greatly appreciate the work that you did for me faithfully all these years. And definitely, of course, I will not stop you from retiring, but I have one request. I want you to just build one house before you go." So his man thought, now one house means at least a year more, you know. So he said, what? He thought to himself, you know, what is the irritation? I mean, I wanted to leave now, he wants me to hang on for another year. So anyway, he couldn't say no. So he said, okay, I'll do that. So the builder took him to a plot of land, very nice land on a hilltop, a nice view of a river and so on. And but the land was kind of overgrown, it was not developed land. So it means that now before building the house, you also have to prepare the land and all of that. So he said to him, "Here is the land, build a house." The man said, "Where's the plan for the house?" He said, "Make your own plan." And he said, "What about the development of the land?" He said, "You know, I'm giving this to you as your project, do it. You have enough experience, develop the land as you want, build the house as you want." The man said, "What is the budget for the house?" He said, "No budget, just do it and send the bills." So the builder now started building. And obviously, he was irritated because, you know, now you develop the land and build the house and it takes a long time and he wants to go now. So anyway, he did, started a job. He had some ideas. Why not allow the flow of water to come from down one side, make a stream, you know, ending in a reservoir before it flows off into the river, which gives the house a beautiful garden with a nice big pond at the end of it and so on. But he said, "No, no, no, all that is too much trouble, forget it." So he kept taking shortcuts. For various things, he kept taking shortcuts. So for example, the wood to be used in the house, he said, "You know, this would be nice if this house had beautiful seasoned teak for banisters and doors and so on. And then for the furnishing," because he was supposed to also furnish the house. So he said, "For the furnishing, it would be lovely to have seasoned rosewood, but all of this takes time. You have to source the teak from somewhere and the rosewood from somewhere else and all that." He said, "Forget it, just take some local wood, whatever it is, build the thing." So the guy finished this house in record time. But he used all kinds of roughshod stuff which he would get, in some cases substandard material and so on. He did not develop the land the way he should have developed it. But anyway, he finished the land in record, the house in record time, and he went to his boss. Well before the year was over, he went to his boss and gave him the keys and he said, "Here is your house." So the boss said, "You seem to have finished this much faster than I expected." He said, "Yeah, absolutely, I finished it fast." So the boss said, "No problem." He handed the keys back to him. He said, "This is your retirement house." He said, "This is my gift to you." That story is, of course, a teaching story. It's not a true story. But that is the story of you and your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a resource. He gave you raw material and said, "Build your house. Build your house in Jannah. Build a house that will earn for you, that will do things for you." What is the budget? No budget. How much time should I spend on this? As much as you want. What resources must I spend on it? Whatever you like. No budget. But at the end of that project, when the house is done, the keys will be handed to you. So this is your house. This is your house. And that is a story with which I want to begin this reminder for myself and you about the issue of parenting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the duty of the children to the parents. But please understand that parenting, Islamically speaking, is not about the biology. It's not about being biologically somebody's parent. That is true, that does give you the status of being a parent. But that's not what parenting is about. That's not what the Quran is talking about. Parenting is about your contribution, your active contribution to the upbringing of the child. There's a book of mine called Raising a Muslim Child. It's free on the internet. I don't know how many million people have read it till now. May Allah protect us, but giving books free to Muslims doesn't seem to work. Parenting is such a critical thing that in the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, he said that the wife, the mother, has only one duty. Has only one duty. And that duty is not to look after the husband, but to look after the children. Upbringing of the children. The other Aimma have been kinder on you by saying that she should also make your chapatis and samosas if you are Gujarati. But the point is that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said, there is only one duty that the mother has, which is the upbringing of the children. Which also tells you the kind of women that you need to marry, and it also tells you tells the women the kind of men that they need to marry who understand the importance of this. We like to, people of my generation especially, we like to moan and groan about how bad the world has become. And how children are so bad, and how children have no adab, and they have no manners, and they have no this, and they have no that, and so on and so on. And I always laugh and I say to myself, all of what you are saying is 100% true, except that you need to ask a question, why is this true? I don't know of any newborn child or any one-year-old child or a two-year-old child who has no adab and who has no concern for the environment and who has no concern for elders and who has no this and no that. They all come out the same way. They all come out as innocent, clean slates to be written on by their parents. So now you, Mr. Father and Mrs. Mother, having done your writing for 20 years, now you want to complain. So, who is responsible? Society today is corrupted not because of children. Children do not corrupt society. Adults corrupt society. Somebody, a friend of mine who belongs to one of the Hindu sects, the Swami sects, He said to me, told me an interesting story. He said that he lives in America. So he said our Swamiji had come. He lives in Delhi. So he said to me, our Swamiji came. So we went to meet him. And then each one of us had, a few minutes with him. So I asked him, I said, Swamiji, my son is 24 years old and he wants to go and study in America. So should I send him or not? Because I'm afraid, he'll go to the West and he'll get corrupted by the West and so on and so on. So should I send him or not? The Swamiji said, that depends on what you were doing for 24 years. Interesting response, right? He said, whether you should send your son to America or not depends on what you did with your son for 24 years. It's not America which corrupts or Europe which corrupts or... It's we who corrupt ourselves. And then we export the blame to somebody else. And that is why parenting is such a serious matter. It won't happen by default. It won't happen by mothers who are principally and almost exclusively concerned about filling their children's belly. The only thing they can talk about is food. What my son eats, what my daughter eats. And usually it's the son. Daughters generally eat whatever is given to them. Or fathers who think that if you throw enough money at the kid, everything will be fine. That's not parenting. Parenting requires time, it requires effort, and more than anything else, it requires you to prepare yourself for parenting. What are you going to teach children about the importance of knowledge when you haven't read a book in the last 20 years? I'm not going to actually embarrass you by asking those who have not read a book for the last 20 years to raise their hands, because I know there are many here who will raise their hands. So we don't want to embarrass you by that. But if you haven't read a book in the last 20 years, what on earth, with the best of intentions in the world, what can you teach your child about the importance of knowledge? So it's not about raising the child, it's raising yourself. Your own consciousness, your own level of knowledge, your own level of understanding, what you can do, what you can't do. We seem to have three principal occupations, especially in this city. One is attending Dawats. Begani Shadi mein Abdullah Diwana kate. Hyderabad ke waste chhuav. So attending Dawats. And second one is watching cricket. And the third one is gossiping. I mean, find me a fourth one. This is life. And then you get very concerned about, my children are badly brought up. As they say, the apple falls close to the tree. If this is your life, then please understand, there are no Imam Ghazalis who are going to be born in your house. So we need to look at ourselves, we adults need to look at ourselves and we need to straighten ourselves and we need to do it pretty fast. If we really want children who will be like that house, a means of khair for us on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah's famous hadith, he said, when a man dies or when a woman dies, all their amal, all their deeds come to a halt. Except three. Now what are those three? The first of them, Saleh Awlad. Good children who they brought up correctly, who make dua for their forgiveness. And all the good actions those children do are actions which benefit the parents. Second one is any work of charity which continues after them. Sadaqatul Jariyah. And the third one is any knowledge that they had which they taught to other people. So the only thing that will be with you and for you or against you is your children. In one hadith which I will also narrate for you, Rasulullah said, he said to the children, he said, your parents are your doors for Jannah or Jahannam. And I say to you that exactly the same meaning of this hadith applies to the parents. Your children are your doors to Jannah or Jahannam. Because their actions are going to come back into your cover to do good or not good, depending on what you did with them. Now, obviously, this does not refer to children who you made the effort to bring them up properly and to do all the right things by them, and then later on in life they got corrupted or they changed. That, inshallah, the blame is not on you. But if you never made any effort in the beginning and your children were just brought up, you know, like weeds, just grew up, you brought up your child like you bring up a young goat. That's why we call them kids, right? The young of goats are called kids. The young of human beings are called children. So we bring up our kids the way we bring up goats. Feed them, shelter them, keep them dry. Khalas. Then you get goats. So this whole series on duty to parents, I want you to think about this also as your duty to your children. Your children will be for you as you train them to be. It's as simple as that. There will be exceptions. I know of parents who did nothing at all for their children, but the children turned out to be very good. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them, and I know also the opposite. May Allah protect us from that. But these are exceptions which prove the rule, and the rule is that your children are for you as you train them to be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this issue of duty to parents in Surah Al-Luqman. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have enjoined on man, meaning we have made it the duty and fard on the man, meaning man and woman, to be dutiful and good to his or her parents. His mother bore him in weakness, she carried him in weakness and hardship upon weakness and hardship. And his weaning, which means when he starts eating solid food, is in 2 years. Give thanks to me, Jalla Jalaluhu, and to your parents, and unto me is the final return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here the contribution of the mother and the father. The father at best gives money and maybe some time. But the mother raises you with her blood. Not just time. You are alive because you took from your mother's blood. That is where you got your nutrition from when you were in her belly. And when you take, you have to give back. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. You cannot take from your mother's life itself and then refuse to give back the duty that is owed to her. The duty that is owed to your father. And if you refuse, then you will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And that will not be easy. My brothers and sisters, gratitude, thankfulness is the quality of character that differentiates mankind from animals. In some cases positively, and in other cases negatively. Animals without fail are grateful. I have never seen an ungrateful dog, but I have seen many ungrateful people. Animals without fail are grateful, but some humans are. And some humans aren't. Gratitude and thankfulness is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that we show it to Him. And He warned those who are ungrateful and do not express gratitude, He warned them of His punishment. Not just feel grateful, express that gratitude. Ask yourself this question. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimum bi dhati sudur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in your heart, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even the thought before it comes into your mind, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, show this gratitude to me, express this gratitude to me? Why? Doesn't He know it already? Because this is the question that you get asked sometimes. People say, why must I say thank you? Doesn't my mother know this already? Doesn't my wife know this already? Doesn't my husband know this already? Does my father, does my brother, cousin, whoever, employer, employee, my driver, my servant? How many people get out of the car and thank the driver? When was the last time you did that? When was the last time even this thought came to you? How many people thank their cook for cooking a wonderful meal? I know many people will obviously comment. I'm not saying you will beat up the cook, but you will definitely comment if something is wrong with the food. How many of you say thank you to the cook for a wonderful meal? We are not talking here about the cook and the driver. We are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who is your and my creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and remember when your Rabb proclaimed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced and said, if you give thanks, I will give you more, I will increase the barakah. But if you are thankless, verily my punishment is indeed severe. La shadid. There is a lamb of emphasis. My brothers and sisters, thankfulness is not about whether the other person knows or not. Thankfulness is not about the other person. It is about you. Thankfulness is an expression of ubudiyat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. We are thankful and we express thankfulness because this is our duty to do. It's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know. It's because it is our job to express this thankfulness, to say it in so many words. And that goes across the board to all the people that we deal with. It goes across the board to all the people that we deal with, to all the people who help us in any way in our lives, to express thankfulness to them, to say that you are thankful. All of this is a reflection of who we are. It's not about them. It's about us. Our behavior is our signature in life. That is our persona. That is our face. It is by that we are recognized. And this is what children and the upbringing of children teaches us. As I always say, children listen with their eyes, not with their ears. Children listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. It's no good talking to children about not wasting time when you are wasting time. It's no good talking to children about not telling lies when you are telling lies. And it doesn't matter what kind of excuse or justification you have for telling lies. The child also has a justification. And your justification is no better than his or her justification. There's no good telling your children to be obedient and respectful to you when you are not obedient and respectful to your elderly parents who are today old and weak. And I've seen both. I've seen the case of people who would not even sit in the presence of their elderly parents. May Allah bless them, alhamdulillah. My dear friend Jamil bhai, all his sons and his grandchildren. Even when he was so old and he was so weak, and he needed two people used to support him to walk. But his sons, children who have children, children who are wealthy in their own right, but with the father, Alhamdulillah, it's an example. They will not even, the ayat which Allah said, do not say, oof, apply to them. Alhamdulillah. Would not even sit in his presence unless he told them to sit. And they did his khidmat till the end. Till the end. Alhamdulillah. Is a means for Jannah for them, inshallah. And so also with his brother Ali Bhai and his children. Alhamdulillah, I see the same thing. With Adnan and his children, Alhamdulillah, I see the same thing. Alhamdulillah. How does it happen? It happens because people make effort. I remember Jamil Bhai used to go every single day, Salatul Fajr to the masjid, the green masjid on road number 2. Every single day. Even when he had to be helped, he would go. And the unwritten rule was that all the sons would pray in Salatul Fajr in the masjid. And if on one day one of them was not there, if he didn't see them in the masjid, when he would come home, he would not eat breakfast. I say, please eat. No. Why? What's wrong? Why were you not in the masjid? Today we want to send our children to the masjid. And you want to sleep at home because you had too much of biryani in somebody's begani shadi the previous night. My brothers and sisters, the reason I'm giving you live examples is because you know these people. You know the people I'm talking about. So it is possible to bring up good children who are obedient, who are a credit to you, and who are a means of sadaqatul jariyah for you, inshallah. It is possible to do that in the same corrupt world that all of us like to complain about. The people I mentioned are not living in some other planet. They're living here, in this dunya. And of course, I will not mention names of other people and their children. May Allah protect them from them, from each other. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect children from toxic parents and protect parents from toxic children. But the toxicity is created. Allah did not make it. You made the relationship toxic. You did not do what you were supposed to do. And may Allah protect us in our environment, in our society, right here in this city, among the people that we know. We have examples of both. I'm not saying this so that you can point fingers at anybody. I'm saying this so that we can look at ourselves and say, what kind of a relationship do I have with my children? What kind of a relationship do I have with my parents? And if that relationship is bad, if there is something wrong with that relationship, then repair it before it is too late. Because the day one of your parents dies, your account is closed. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the father is one door of Jannah, the mother is another door of Jannah. When one dies, one door closes. When the other one dies, the other door closes. Now, if you served them and so on and so forth, and you did what you were supposed to do, then inshallah, the khair of that door closing, the khair will not stop with the door closing. This will come with you. Their du'as will be with you throughout your life. But if you did not do that, if you had all kinds of arguments and fight with your father and your mother because of this and that, and usually 99% of the time, it is about one of two things. One is because you think your father or mother loves this other sibling more than you. and the other one is because of property and money. But Allah gave you that wealth, and may Allah protect you from your wealth. Because for many of you, you have converted that wealth into a curse for yourself. Just think about it. If you did not have this money, you would have a good relationship with your father and mother. You would have gone and served them. They would have given dua for you. But because you have the money, you curse them, they curse you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. This is the value of money. This is why Allah gave you wealth. So you make it a curse for yourself and open a door for Jahannam for yourself instead of Jannah. My brothers and sisters, go make tawbah. Go make tawbah. As the shayar says, Maa baap se kar dosti, maa baap phir milte kaha. Go and make amends and go and repair your relationship with your parents. For those of you for whom those parents are alive, do it now. Do not go home after this khutbah without doing that. And for those of you whose parents have died, and if they did not die with a good opinion of you, then make tawbah till the day you drop. And go and make hajj for your parents, and go and make umrah for your parents, and give charity after charity after charity for your parents, and ask Allah to forgive you. Because you don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where your mother or your father died when they were unhappy with you. I want to close with a dalil for all that I'm saying. A young sahabi was passing away, was dying in Medina. The people came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, he is in great pain in the state of Nada. He is suffering very much. He's not able to die. His breath is stuck and he is suffering. So please come. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi went to him and he saw the state of suffering. And he asked them, he said, are his parents alive? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, his father has passed away but the mother is alive. He said, where is the mother? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, she is not here, she lives elsewhere. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what was his relationship with his mother? They said, Ya Rasulullah, not good. That's why she does not live with him, she lives elsewhere. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and tell the mother to forgive her son and that he is in this state. So they went running, they went to the mother, they said, look, your son is dying, he is in great pain and so on, and the Nabi is with him. And he's asking you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is requesting you, please forgive your son. The mother said, I will not forgive him. He has caused me too much of problems. He caused me too much of pain. I will not forgive him. Whatever happens to him, let it happen. So they came back and they said, Ya Rasulullah, the mother says she will not forgive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, gather firewood, bring wood. They said, Ya Rasulullah, for what? He said, so that I can burn him here. Bring firewood so that I will burn him alive here and tell his mother that I want to do this because otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn him in Jahannam. So they went back to the mother. They said, look, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. He said, he will burn your son alive so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burn him on the day of Jahannam. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in the hellfire. But you know, mothers are mothers, wallah. When she heard this, she said, no, no, no. She said, I don't want my son to burn, either here or there. I forgive him. Tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for him. I forgive him. I ask Allah to forgive him. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, the purpose of these lectures is not simply to listen and go away. The purpose of these lectures is to look at our own lives, is to reflect on our own lives. And is to bring about changes in our lives that are beneficial for us. This is not about anybody else. It's about yourself. It's not about anybody else. It is entirely about yourself. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me more children than all of you. And the best thing with my children is I never paid one bill for any of them. Alhamdulillah. But inshallah, I have great faith that they will all make dua for me when I'm gone, inshallah. So that's my perk of being in this world. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to bless you and to fill your lives with His Noor and with Barakah, and to give you children who will become a source of Noor for you on the day of judgment, children who will become the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, children who will become a credit for you in this world and after you are gone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you parents whose du'as will follow you in this dunya and whose du'as will keep the barakah in your life alive and protection for you after they are gone. I ask Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to fill the qubur of your parents who passed away with noor. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help your parents who are alive, if they are sick, to cure them. If they have any difficulty, to remove that difficulty from them. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you the means for them to give you dua as long as they live, and for that dua to be worth for you after they are gone. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.